Let's get it.
Hey, it's Chuck. We are not bemoaning the noon kickoff. We are now owning it. It's a badge of honor. We're the lunatic fringe that defines our coach's legacy when it comes to this game. They don't get to define that outside the family. Dude, we're cut from a different cloth for Ohioans. He's got it all, man. He's even got the jaw. You know the jaw? You see that jaw and you're just like, yeah, man, that's a dude. Do I want Michigan to beat Oklahoma? No way in hell. I don't know what world I'm living in. This is insane to me. And if you saw my outburst, I apologize. It's showtime now.
And welcome to Juck on Bucks. Appreciate you so much for joining me as we go back to the end of last season when the transfer portal opens up. Until we kind of see these players, right, these 51 new players, we got a long time to speculate as to what we're going to see from all these new guys, right? We get all these guys out of the transfer portal. All these freshmen come in. And a long off season to talk about, not a lot of action happening. So we go through all these guys and we set these kind of baselines as to what we are expecting out of each guy. What's each guy going to be? Is he going to be a starter level player? Is he going to be a contributing level player? And it's just kind of human nature at times that we sink into this kind of groupthink of what this guy's generally going to be. There's always outliers. I have plenty of outliers on certain guys' opinions. But there is a general baseline for all of these new players by the time we hit spring and certainly by the time we hit the preseason. So I wanted to go over which one of these guys, the top 10 list of these guys on the team that have had the most surprising off seasons compared to those general expectations. And this list that I worked on here isn't necessarily star players. It could just be, I mean, there are a few stars, but it could also be guys that are just dudes that we probably would not have expected to see hit the field this year that have worked their way into a role because they've exceeded those expectations with a great offseason, a ton of hard work, both in the spring, in the winter workouts, and then in the preseason that we've just seen. So I'm interested to hear what your list is, but here is mine for the top 10 best, most surprising offseasons put together by all of these Buckeyes, both new and existing guys. And we start this list with Run DMC. Devin McEwen, UTSA transfer, a burner, a guy who on his film was clear, was a yak guy. He was the best guy that UTSA had with the ball in his hands. So they wanted to get the ball in his hands in a hurry and let him go do the work. Now, there were some instances on his film of him catching deep balls, but the majority of it, not so much. It was more first, second level stuff, and he certainly is a yak machine, no doubt. As a freshman, as a sophomore, as a junior, contributed in a big way each year. Each year his production grew, and that's definitely what you want to see, particularly from a guy who's coming from a smaller conference making the jump up. Did he improve every single year? Absolutely he did, and it looks like he has certainly continued that trend, improving into his fourth year, his senior year. But it didn't start right off the rip. When we go back to spring, I always expected him to be the starter across from JJ. Maybe you did too. But in the spring, it was very much 50-50 with both him and Kyle Parker, the transfer from LSU. And to be honest, in the spring, McEwen didn't look like he stood out as particularly more impressive in the limited action that we got to see in the spring. And then came the winter workouts and, of course, the preseason. And the preseason started off with three public practices in front of fans and in front of media where Devin McEwen absolutely blew up. He was a machine and particularly showcased his ability to make not just catches in the third level, but high level of difficulty catches in the third level. And it kind of changed the entire complexion of what a lot of people think this receiving corps could be, with now a true legit number two who can force coverage away from Jeremiah. You can't go bully him because you just got a yak guy across the field from him. This is a dude who can go make plays downfield, and they're going to test him, and he's going to have to deliver early. But even if you thought you already had a solid number two at some point in the season in Chris Henry Jr., which a lot of people do, it was just going to take some time. McEwen proves, I think, that you got that guy from day one, and that is a great feeling in what is now one of the one of the deeper wide receiver rooms in the country. So very exciting stuff in Devin McEwen. And again, this list is not 1 through 10 in order of who I think was the best or most surprising. All these guys are at the top, surprising off seasons. And number two, of course, Bo Atkinson going to make our list. An obvious disappointment in year one is a guy coming in from North Carolina who Georgia and Ohio State battled for in the spring portal. Now, the spring portal did not have, when it was alive, as much inventory of players, but you did see Ohio State and Georgia after him, which is always one of those things in recruiting or in the portal where you look and you say, okay, hey, if they both see it, that's a dude right there. And that was certainly an exciting one. And he comes in out from North Carolina. I think the first thing I thought when I saw him that spring last year was, boy, he photographs well. Doesn't quite look the same in person. He looked like a bigger basketball player rather than a beefed up football player. And in his freshman year, he started off getting like 30 snaps freshman year. In his first year at Ohio State, started off getting 30 snaps-ish to start the year with Texas. And that dwindled down slowly throughout the year. And Zion Grady, freshman, ended up stealing a lot of his snaps. And towards the end of the year, he was getting maybe 10 snaps a game. Didn't even play in the biggest games of the year. Decent from A to B as far as burst, but any deviation, right? If you got any misdirection or change of direction, going from A to B, he looked like a very, very stiff athlete. And it almost looked to me at one point like it was kind of unsalvageable that he would realistically be an option to start or even really play significant snaps moving forward. And I even thought there was a decent shot that he would end up in the portal, but he stuck it out and he worked after practice every single day, and he seriously worked over the winter in the weight room, and he comes out in the preseason this year looking like a different dude. I mean, he's so much bigger, stronger. He looks like an NFL defensive end now. He was extremely disruptive, and whether or not we see this this change in athleticism and bend and athletic flexibility that they're looking for from him, that remains to be seen. But certainly he's done enough now to go from a guy who was losing snaps last year to a freshman to the starting role. Now, that could speak to the age of the other guys in the room, but you still got to go earn it. And it seems like Bo has gone out and earned it. And that is certainly a huge surprise. On to number three. When cornerback Justice Fitzpatrick out of St. Thomas Aquinas, a target for Tim Walton in the 2026 cycle, committed to Georgia late in the class. There was a ton of negativity with Tim Walton from the Ohio State RecruitNet community. And at the point, you just had Jordan Thomas committed as a corner. The previous year, you just had Devin Sanchez and project kind of guy, Jordan Woods. And it looked like you might get stuck with the same type deal, bringing in really only two true corners in two consecutive classes, which is just not enough. And then former Indiana commit who had flipped to Florida State, his dad's alma mater, Jay Timmons, came into the Ohio State purview, a borderline top 100 player at the time who played football in Pittsburgh. And his senior year, he eventually became cornerback one in the country via Rivals while playing safety because his team needed him to play safety. And that's where he played. We're talking about a guy who played nickel, corner, and safety. We're talking about a guy who Charles Power, Rivals' number one scout, said is the best pound-for-pound player in the country, in his view. And a lot of people doubt high school scouts, right? I have always really respected Charles Power's opinion. And when I heard that, that one meant a lot to me. And Charles Power is looking very prophetic right now as we got a guy in Jay Timmons who now, late in the preseason, as we roll into the season, has solidified himself with one of the all-timers, man. You just don't often see a guy come in and start on the Ohio State defense. And it looks like that's what's going to happen for Jay Timmons here as he joins, starting in the slot, some ridiculous names in Malcolm Jenkins, Dante Whitner, Antoine Winfield, and I'm forgetting somebody else off the top of my head. But, you know, a long list of absolute studs who have turned into first-round draft picks. Jay Timmons on a trajectory to the moon. Also a hammer. I was talking to somebody last night on the Buckeye Insiders board, which you can join us over there on the Buckeye Insiders board with the link in the description here of this video. And we were talking about Jay Timmons, and a guy was slightly concerned as this doesn't really look like, you know, the three safeties with Timmons there at the nickel. It looks more like now you got the cornerback at the nickel. Jay Timmons is a hammer. If we were talking 10, 15 years ago, Jay Timmons would be
a clock cleaner. He'd be one of these dudes that's an enforcer out there. That's the kind of hitter he is. There is absolutely no concern about Jay Timmons when it comes to the run game, despite being slightly undersized. The guy is a rocket. So at number four, as we move on to our list, in the class of 2025, James Laurinaitis got two of his top four targets at linebacker committed in the number two linebacker in the country, Riley Pettijohn and TJ Alford, who ended up kind of dropping down the rankings later. But if you're one of James Laurinaitis' top five targets, that's good enough for me. And he ends up getting those two high-profile guys. But there was one more committed in that class, and that is a kid from Mogador right down the street, Juckeye Eli Lee, one of my guys out of Hoban. This is a family that, you know, comes into my restaurant. I mean, you know, no bones about it. I am biased towards Eli Lee, but I don't pump him on the show unless there's something to pump him about. And there certainly is this year. And he has definitely earned his way onto this list as a guy. When we talked about that class in 2025, people didn't even really mention him. It was just Riley and TJ, and that was kind of it. And now when you look at Eli Lee, you better put some respect on his name as a guy that came out in the spring game and earned the Juckeye Bucks defensive player of that spring game. And he absolutely killed it in the preseason. Most forced fumbles, was a tough tackler, sheds blocks easy. He's a big, nasty dude, and he's got some speed as well. And I'm really, really impressed and happy for Eli Lee as he makes our list. On to number five. Ohio State, a quarterback in the class of 2026, was an off year, right? You're not looking to add that high-dollar five-star quarterback every single cycle anymore. You want to have an off year. You bring in your Tavian St. Clair in 2025. The following year, you're going to bring in a guy who you project might end up becoming a guy who can be a starting caliber dude. But ultimately, he's not a guy you're relying on, like a Tavian St. Clair type of guy with a ceiling through the roof, NFL top 10 potential. Ohio State was searching around late in that class. Jet Tamala's name came up, Jet Tamala from Nebraska, who was a three-star committed to Iowa State. That's kind of the caliber of where they were hunting. Now, I wanted Jet Tamala. Billy Fessler didn't offer him. He did end up becoming a five-star and signing at Nebraska. So he would have been a good one, I thought at the time. And I was a little salty when it ended up being Luke Fahey. Though I really liked Luke, I wanted Jet Tamala. And all Luke Fahey has done as a 5 foot, 10 and a half quarterback coming in from the West Coast, Mission Viejo, where he was a really advanced quarterback on the West Coast, a guy who would sling it all around, also with some wheels, a good knack for when to get out of the pocket. And just, you know, you see some of these shorter quarterbacks who have learned how to deal with it really, really well. And Fahey is one of those guys, a kid with Ohio blood, whose parents, I'm sorry, grandparents met in the Ohio State Library. And his size, the only knock on him, the only reason he's a three-star, but he comes to Ohio State, a quarterback factory under Ryan Day, as an undersized guy and a kid that in the spring, a lot of people who watched that guy in the spring were saying, including myself, my gosh, this dude's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere. Don't know if it's going to be at Ohio State, but he's got what it takes to be a starting quarterback with that arm in college football. And now he has gone on this preseason to really push a battle with Tavian St. Clair all the way down into the final week for the backup quarterback role, which is amazing. So definitely Luke Fahey on the list. On to number six, tight end Mason Williams, the transfer out of Ohio University. Our second guy on this list, along with Eli Lee, from little postage stamp sized Mogador, Ohio, right down the street, which is insane. Like Eli, he grew up a Buckeyes fan as well. And his dream came true when Keenan Bailey came calling for him. Keenan Bailey's second Ohio University transfer tight end after having great success with Will Kaczmarek. Mason Williams comes in, and to the coaches, the biggest surprise of all the transfers in this entire class from what they expected versus what they ended up getting, as Mason Williams has worked himself into. And mind you, they also brought in the number three tight end via 247 in the transfer portal, and that was Hunter Welsing. Mason Williams not ranked anywhere near that. Hunter Welsing, a 24-year-old seventh-year guy who played plenty last year in the Big Ten, Mason coming from the MAC. And it's Mason Williams who has solidified himself through this offseason as the pretty clear number two option out of these tight ends behind Nate Roberts. That is incredibly impressive. He
He definitely makes the list. On to number seven, a guy that rarely talked about, but we talk about him here. Another guy who's joined us here on the show, along with his high school classmate, also Buckeye signee at the time, Dez Jones and DeShawn Stewart. And Dez Jones, a wide receiver, DeShawn Stewart, a safety, both out of DePaul Catholic, both about to sign to Penn State before the Buckeye coaches came calling. And they quickly, you know, obviously wanted to come to Ohio State. And they did, and that was awesome. And Dez, a small, shifty slot receiver who is a guy that I think a lot of people didn't figure you'd hear anything from until maybe his junior year, and comes into the preseason. Not much noise about him, and he had a fantastic preseason. Obviously, there's a roadblock in front of him, and he's going to need to wait his turn. But certainly a guy who looks like he's on the track that when his turn comes, he's going to be a very capable dude. And that moves us to number eight, Damari Simeon, another kid out in New Jersey, top 200 prospect coming out of high school, a guy who was an absolute powerhouse at St. Augustine in New Jersey. Pardon me. Not a huge guy, not a tall guy, but Larry Johnson's shown us time and time again that height really doesn't make that much of a difference to him. And if Damari was 2 inches taller, he would have been way up there in the rankings because he was dominant with his size, with his power, also speed, and certainly another guy with his head on straight and physically just blew them up in New Jersey. And now when we look at these defensive tackles, Ryan Day comes out yesterday in his press conference, but he added the top six names of the defensive tackles. And in those top six was Damari Simeon, not Jameer Perez, not Emmanuel Ruffin. So that was a lot of, there was a lot of talk about the three of those guys. Who was going to be the guy if there was going to be a guy that was excelling from the pack there? Damari is the guy. And that's a big time off season for him to make that happen. At number nine, Simeon Caldwell. Simeon Caldwell, top 200 prospect from the Bulls school in Jacksonville. Also committed with one of his teammates to Ohio State. His teammate eventually flipped to Florida State. But of course, Simeon Caldwell stayed loyal to the Buckeyes, as Simeon Caldwell's mom is Tim Walton's sister. And he is a very smart, well-spoken kid, well-mannered kid, but a guy who came in coming in to the safeties room with Matt Guerrieri, who a lot of people thought would eventually find his way to linebacker, as he's a very big, tall, rangy kid. Not a Sonny Styles, quite tight build, but a guy you can certainly see going down that path. And I don't think anybody really expected him to find his way on the field as a freshman. But from what Ryan Day said on Monday, it sounds like that's going to happen for Simeon Caldwell in the way of some certain packages, getting in on a dime, being the big nickel, which is an incredible feat for a guy like Simeon, who, again, not expectations like that. And then we move to our number 10 guy, our last guy on this list, also one of the four safeties in that class, Caden Gephardt out of Olentangy. For my money, the hardest hitter in the state of Ohio, pound for pound, in the class of 2026. That's a class that included the number one linebacker in the country, Sincere Johnson. Caden is an absolute dude. He's a mad dog. He's a wrecking ball. And played with CJ Sana, former or also a Buckeye, playing as a linebacker. Those two on that defense, it was the most exciting defense to watch in the state that year. It was awesome. Two Ohio State commits, one at linebacker, one at safety. It was just phenomenal. But Caden, you know, when we go back to his recruiting process, it was an odd one. Guerrieri got in late. He ends up committing to Clemson. Clemson and Penn State had a better relationship with him at the time. So he's moving on to Clemson. And then just by way of him playing with RJ Day as a young kid, you get the mom, Caden Gephardt's mom, and Nina Day meeting in a grocery store, talking about football. All of a sudden that leads to Caden rekindling with Ohio State, and he ends up flipping to Ohio State, where he always wanted to be and grew up a Buckeye fan, and comes in as the fourth safety commit in the class behind Simeon Caldwell, Blaine Bradford, Kamari Bing. And in the spring, it looked immediately like Blaine Bradford and Caden Gephardt, to me, were the best of that bunch. And he carried that through the off-season winter conditioning, where he put on a lot of weight, not a ton of weight, but enough weight to be noticeable. Like, okay, he looks different. He looks long, lean, athletic. He moves great. And now he has got himself squarely up in that, you know, third group of safeties with Blaine Bradford, which is a testament above Kamari Bing, who was a much more ballyhooed recruit, and Simeon Caldwell not really in there with them as he's kind of moving around playing different roles. But a huge offseason for Gaden Gephardt, and that's great. Did I say number 10 for him? He wasn't number 10. Number 10 is obviously the guy who, if we go back to the class of 2025, right? I began the Isaiah West Most Underrated Player of the Year Award, which is the guy that I thought was, you know, just the worst ranked guy in the country. And of course, Isaiah West goes on to become a freshman who actually sees the field at Ohio State, which is ridiculous for a three-star guy. And not just that, but solidifies himself into the conversation as a potential starter in his second year. The second guy to win that award was Brock Boyd, coming out of Texas, a three-star wide receiver, a dragon. And Brock Boyd coming in as a guy who was in the very, I mean, he was the back of the pack as the wide receiver in the wide receiver room coming in the spring, and loses his black stripe first before anybody, almost breaks the record in doing so, and has kind of reached a legendary status at this point, having never played a game. And I remember having conversations towards the end of that spring with his dad, and we were going over special teams, looking at the returners. I was looking at stats for him last year. Okay, how many returns did Brandon Innes have? As he was trying to think, man, maybe he could get on the team or get on the field as a freshman in a return role, and just trying to like figure out, could there be a way for Brock to get on the field as a freshman? And, you know, he had already kind of blown up, but even at that point, we still didn't really think he was actually going to play a lot, right? He's a freshman wide receiver. And now as we enter into the season, Ryan Day has confirmed, absolutely, he will play this year. He's definitely one of those top six. I think he's one of those top five or four, coming in as a true freshman because he is so advanced, thanks to his dad, Chris, who is a fantastic wide receiver coach in his own right. And really, the most exciting story of the entire offseason certainly has been Brock. So that is our list. Again, the list of the most surprising offseasons: Devin McEwen, Bo Atkinson, Jay Timmons, Eli Lee, Dez Jones, Luke Fahey, Mason Williams, Damari Simeon, Simeon Caldwell, and Brock Boyd. If you have not subscribed to the show, just makes it easier for you to find it. Helps us on this end tremendously. If you could please do that, that would be great. And do not forget, you can still enter till the end of the week a $200 Cool One jacket for one lucky Juckeye just by entering your email address. In the description of this video, you can find where to enter that email address. And there's even a box to click that says, if you do not wish to receive email correspondence from this company, click the box. It's no trick. Just enter and get your free awesome jacket, which I love. That's the Buckeye Battle Cry on the outside of it. It turns into a pocket. Nice little pouch you can throw anywhere. It's a $200 jacket. So they're giving one to a free Juckeye. It might not be the last one. They're really happy with the response. So I appreciate you guys, and I will talk to you soon. Jungle Bucks out.